Rick's Blog, Sunday 7th of April 2024. Part 1, Scotland's Hate Crime Law. My first question is this the Hate Crime and Public Order Scotland Act 2021? I ask because I've heard a number of deeply disturbing things about it in various sources online, which don't seem to be mentioned in the legalese. As far as I can tell, I'm not a lawyer. They are: one can make anonymous reports. One can report on what somebody said to somebody else in private. If a conviction is not successful, it is to be recorded against the accused as a non-crime potential hate incident, which can then be available to employers and such. The police are obliged to respond to every single report. Are these real provisions or misinformation? And then a couple are caught in the text of the legislation. There doesn't need to be an actual victim. It is a defence to say that the storing up hatred behaviour was, in the circumstances, reasonable. The protected attributes are age, disability, race, colour, nationality, including citizenship, ethnic or national origins, religion, or in the case of a social or cultural group, perceived religious affiliation, sexual orientation, transgender identity, variations in sex characteristics. So, let's break all of these down. One can make anonymous reports. While I can understand that anonymous reports might help potential victims to come forward, especially if they're from a group that is frequently discriminated against, this does raise two problems. The first is that unless the perpetrator confesses, it's liable to need to go to court. At which point, who exactly is the accuser? Secondly, this raises huge potential for making anonymous false declarations in order to harass people. One can report on what somebody said to somebody else in private. This is simply wrong. If what was said in private, who told the person making a report? Did they tell what was actually said or what they felt was said? I agree that stamping out hate speech is a noble aim, but any report should be accompanied by direct, first-hand evidence, a recording, an email, the person actually being there and hearing it themselves. It shouldn't ever be a friend of a friend said. If a conviction is not successful, it is to be recorded against the accused as a non-crime potential hate incident, which can then be available to employers and such. What the hell is this? If somebody's cautioned, then sure, record that. If a person is convicted, then sure, record that. But if neither happens, perhaps due to insufficient evidence or an understanding that the hate in question was actually a justified remark, then this should not be recorded in any form. To put it in alternate words, if I went to my local supermarket and put loads of stuff in my trolley and then unloaded it onto a conveyor belt and then repacked it into the trolley and then paid for it all, should this be recorded as a non-crime potential shoplifting incident because I dress in black and wear headphones while shopping and somebody somewhere thinks that I'm the sort of profile that would steal stuff? Recording non-crimes is essentially revoking the presumption of innocence. What next, citizen scores? The police are obliged to respond to every single report. I note that a big factor in the proposals is the police publishing detailed annual reports on dealing with hate crime. I trust they will also detail how much public money and policing time was spent on dealing with this, especially if chasing up anonymous third-party reports, rather than providing an actual police presence, which is probably what a lot of people want. There doesn't need to be an actual victim. This is wrong. I can understand the point of this was probably to stop thinking like, all, some group here, are offensive, well-worn stereotype. But unless the accused made their hate public, like a tweet or some such, how exactly does the government expect to secure a conviction with nobody acting as a victim? If the government would take on that role, like the people versus some random Nazi, how strong is the case without direct evidence? Of course, if the perpetrator posts some hate crap on Twitter / X, they probably deserve the roasting they're going to get. Although social media these days is toxic enough that I can imagine plenty of valuable police resources we wasted fizzing over this fair fickler. It is a defence to say that the stirring up hatred behaviour was, in the circumstances, reasonable. Of course, we run into the problem of defining reasonable. Is it reasonable to yell insults during a Rangers v Celtic, or did I say Celtic, match? Maybe, maybe not. Context is everything, but it's also a very vague concept. After all, an Englishman, an Irishman, and a Scotsman walked into a bar. The protected attributes are age, disability, race, colour, nationality, including citizenship, and an awful lot of stuff. I'm not going to read it. I've already gone over because it's a mouthful. My first thought, looking at this, is that existing legislation pretty much deals with discrimination on each of those characteristics. My second thought is that transgender identity is a tricky subject. I think it's perfectly reasonable for a person to have the opinion that a man is born with a Y chromosome and a penis, while a woman has only X chromosomes and a uterus, and that these are fixed and immutable. This isn't phobia or malice or discrimination, it's a basic biological fact. That's not to say that we shouldn't treat transgender people with respect. It's worth reflecting that it's quite a big deal for a person to reject their birth gender and want to be the other, or maybe neither. However, wanting and being are not the same thing, which is why this is a tricky subject. And my third thought, strongly reinforced by Section 12, titled The Power to Add the Characteristic of Sex, is that there is something horrifically deficient in legislation against discrimination and hate that feels to consider basic gender to be a protected characteristic. Or, to put it much more bluntly, it would appear that in Scotland now, women born as men have better protections than women born as women. What the fuck, Hamza? Are you utterly tone-deaf to the struggle of biological females for pretty much the entire existence of the Abrahamic religions? I can put that little bell down now. Part 2. School photos. Say hello to Erin. If you're looking at the website, there's a picture of her on the right. Cute, isn't she? She's real, not an AI generation. You can tell her eyes match. Unfortunately, this is where the story takes a decidedly darker turn. As reported in the Daily Mail, which is where I got the photo, Erin's class photos were done by a company called Tempest Photography that specializes in school photos, amongst other things. And they apparently offered parents the ability to order photographs with disabled and SEN children removed from the photos. No, dude, that's not okay. Given Erin's earmuffs, I'm just going to guess that she has some form of autism and doesn't cope well with the noise and distractions of day-to-day life. But rather than being omitted and deleted, she ought to be praised for being able to interact in a school with other children. God knows, it's often challenging to deal with normies. To put this into context, here's a photo of me shopping, and the mask is because the photo was taken during the COVID era. One of the very, very few benefits of not having a mum anymore is that I no longer need to pretend to be normal and fail miserably. Yes, I look weird. You can call me weird if you like. I've had people say that for the entirety of my existence. So don't think I'm going to be upset if you join in, just mildly disappointed in your lack of originality. For my part, since introspection is something I do constantly, frequently, I want to try to understand my weirdness. Sunglasses indoors, I'm not a blues brother. But it turns out that it's a lot easier to go shopping if I cut down on all the bright lights and wear headphones to play music that has familiarity, plus active noise cancelling in order to mute out the rest of the world. I don't wear headphones while interacting with the checkout girls, I feel that would be a bit rude, but it's quite a shock taking them off. It's so bloody noisy. However, by doing this, I can slow down, take time when shopping, and think about what I need and do comparisons and such, rather than just wanting to get the hell out. I feel that I lack an input filter. So you're talking to me, right? And over there is a guy talking about his pet goldfish, and over there is a woman getting stressed because it's the end of the fiscal year and she has to file her tax declaration. And you're talking to me and I'm getting a little bit lost because I wonder if goldfish need to file taxes, and if so, how would it be done? They'd have to put in a waterproof screen for the resistive touch cover because capacitive, like your smartphone, would fail miserably underwater. But the problem with resistive is it needs more force to activate, as you're literally pushing the two parts together. And would an itty-bitty fish really appreciate repeatedly headbutting a piece of glass to state that it lives in a tank rent-free, gets free food, and doesn't have earnings to declare? And then, if fish need to make more tax returns, why not cats? Well, the answer is obvious, because cats would fill out everything wrongly on purpose. Not because they're stupid or malicious, but because that's just the nature of the cat. So, what were you saying again? Oh, and it's far worse in French, as there are plenty of sounds that aren't in my native language, mixed up with other people talking the same way, plus many random factory sounds. Sometimes when people talk to me, I end up giving them a blank look. That's not because I'm dumb, although I rather suspect that's what people think, but because I literally wasn't able to extract enough from all the other noise. I have a hope in hell working out what was being said. Itfi is said near that prod be fellow useful, not cushion multiple fridge talking should weak, or something. Huh? What? After school photos, well, here's mine from 1990. Back then, it was a photographic camera that slowly swept the scene from left to right. Yes, there were instances of a boy running from one side to the other, although the photographer caught these and redid the photo after chastising the person concerned. Given that the material, I think it was some sort of glass plate, was not particularly sensitive, the photos were taken on bright sunny days, so I'm usually the one squinting or with my eyes closed. We don't have the power to shop photographs back then. Photography was a hands-on manual process, but I can't imagine such a thing would have been desired. Not just because it was a special needs school and I was one of the weird ones, but because these are my school memories. The few friends I had to the complete arseholes I'm glad I never met again in my life. I wouldn't want to edit out anybody. In fact, the only sad thing is that looking at this photo 34 years later, there are very few people I can put a name to. Sorry about the hiccup, I was actually looking at the photograph. I do wish I could end this story here, I really do. But the Daily Mail also reports of a young girl in a different school who wears very thick glasses being asked to remove them because her mummy would like a photo of her looking pretty. What? These people shouldn't be working with children. Thank you for listening.